When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The thing is, though, I still feel like it's Monday night because that's how I live my schedule. When I come in the door, it's really funny. I'll walk in the door. It'll be a couple of minutes after midnight Eastern time. And the security guards will say good morning. And it's all I can do not to make a snarky response because it's definitely not morning. And so I'm with you, Pacific time zone. Those of you even in the mountain time zone, or heck, you can be anywhere and still be awake on your Monday night. I usually consider morning when I wake up or doing this schedule when work is over. And so I don't feel like it's morning yet. I know technically it's October, though, for a good portion of the country. And that kind of blows me away. September flew by in a blur. And now we're on the cusp of the baseball postseason. But we needed a monster Monday in sports, not just for a doubleheader in the NFL, but also for a doubleheader in baseball to determine the final two playoff spots. We've got ourselves a schedule for Tuesday, and it's four games, four wildcard series. I've said this before. I do not love it. I'm not a huge fan of the three-game series. It's not my favorite. I much preferred having the one-game wild cards because, to me, that set the tone right off the top for what you would hope was a dramatic October. And it kind of sucked you in right away with winner-take-all games. Not to mention, I feel like there should be a greater reward for winning your division. But this is the pattern. This is the model now for baseball. And everything that I've heard from those insiders in the game, baseball will be expanding its playoffs even more, which I'm also not on board with, but they make their money with the post game and the postseason and all the different games on TV. That's how they end up boosting their advertising dollars. So, of course, they're not going to give up any real estate. But we've got the four openers of the wild card series on Tuesday. The game twos are set for Wednesday, and then we'll see how many game threes we need. Last year, we didn't need any. All of them ended in, I'm using air quotations, sweeps, if you will. So Tuesday, October 1st starts hot and heavy in Houston, Baltimore, Milwaukee, San Diego, in that order, your wild card matchups. Let's hope that we get some fresh blood. That's always what I root for now. We know there will be a new World Series champion because the Rangers did not make the playoffs. But yeah, we've got some new teams in there as well. So looking forward to that. I guess if I needed that drama to start me off, Monday in Atlanta was a great place to begin. I actually was watching, listening to these games, and looking at social media And at one point, I know I tweeted this and I think others did as well. Let's hope October is a lot like what we saw between the Mets and the Braves, who are arch rivals, of course, out of the NL East and had their games postponed last week. And there was a chance that these two games would not be needed if the playoff picture was already set, but it was definitely not set. And so the Braves and the Mets had two games, and the way that it worked out, if they split, they would both become wild cards. If one team swept both games, well, then the Diamondbacks would get in. Can you imagine what it was like to watch with the Diamondbacks? And I do know there were a couple of reporters who were around the team. I don't know if it was the whole team or part of the team was together, maybe doing a workout. I know that there was access for some of these guys, and they were watching, and they were disappointed to see the way it played out. But the strategies, yeah, if you're the Mets, if you're the Braves, and wanting to split for the team that didn't win, right? The team that doesn't win the opener then has no choice but back against the wall. But how would the team that won end up handling it? So yeah, all of it fascinating, kind of psychological, but mostly it was about getting that first win. And Atlanta was well on its way, up 3-0 heading into the eighth inning.
Here's the 1-1 to Lindor. Swing and a liner to center. Base hit for Lindor. Alvarez is in. Marte stops at second. Lindor on at first. RBI single. Four straight hits to begin the eighth inning for the Mets. The Atlanta lead is now 3-2. Here's the pitch. Swing and a liner to right field. That's a base hit. Marte hits third. He's coming home. White throw is cut off by Olsen. The Mets have tied the game. Going to third is Lindor. And holding at first with an RBI single is Jose Iglesias. The Mets have tied the game 3-3. And still nobody out in the eighth inning. Five straight hits for New York. And they're in charge now. The 2-1 to Nimmo. Driven in the air. Deep right field. This baby's on the way. It is gone! A long two-run homer for Brandon Nimmo. It's a six-run eighth inning. The Mets are leading by a score of 6-3. It's as though the alarm clock went off. It is pandemonium in the Mets dugout. And from the Mets fans here at Truist Park as well.
The calls there on the Mets radio network with the great Howie Rose. Yeah, this was stunning. In the top of the eighth, the Braves start out leading 3-0. And then in the blink of an eye, it felt like the Mets had not only erased that lead, but on six hits, scored six runs. They batted around in the inning. And by the time it was done, they were up 6-3. Except we still needed to buckle up, needed to be securely in our seats with hands and legs firmly inside. So the Mets then end up making their own pitching change, and the Braves are able to hop on Pop, if you will. They end up getting three hits and four runs, and the big blow is Ozzie Albies, who doubles to left and empties the bases, scores three runs, right? So they go from being down 4-6 at that point to up 7-6. And it was really dramatic. It was just this wild pendulum swing from Braves to Mets back to the Braves. And I can only imagine. Well, you think about the roller coaster ride sometime. If you're a fan of roller coasters, this is how I like to compare it to sports, where you have this feeling of elation, right? You're excited. You get on the top of the mountain. Oh my gosh, the thrill, the adrenaline as you're waiting for the bottom to drop out as you start down the other side of a steep incline. Maybe it's one where you kind of hang up there at the top for a minute. So you go from feeling like you're on top of the world to feeling like you have to throw up. And that's kind of how this it must have felt for Braves and Mets fans. I know producer Pete is one, so what about you? Is that how it felt for you from, I don't know, feeling like you were going to have to play through the second game for a potential playoff spot to then being on the top of the world to then watching the Braves rally again in the bottom of the eighth?
Well, I was putting it mildly. It felt, it has the mildest way to put it. It was unbelievably stressful in many ways. The highs are highs and the lows are lows, and this team does that all the time to Met fans. So, yes, it set me on a roller coaster ride that kept me up for a long time.
I started out, they started out 0-5 and had to climb out of a pretty steep hole in the National League East. And a lot of Mets fans had given up on their team going back to, mid-spring or so. It was morose for Mets fans and the fan base. But they become the fourth team to make the postseason after starting 0-5 because, the dramatic finish, the conclusion was still to come.
Hudson ready. His first pitch to Lindor. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone. Into the Braves bullpen in right center field. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. Whether he wins one or not, he has just put the Mets back on top. 8-7. So White walks his lead off of second. Outfield a step towards right against the right-hand hitter, D'Arnaud. Diaz sets the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a bouncing ball slowly hit to short. Waiting on it, Lindor. He's got it. Throws to first. Put it in the box. Diaz slams the glove down. He is pounced on by Alvarez. And the New York Mets are headed to postseason play. In what has been a memorable season, they were 11 games under 500 in late May. They have stormed all the way back, and metaphorically, they did so today.
Once again, the call is there with Howie Rose on Mets Radio. If you know who Gary Cohen is, he is the former radio announcer, now does the local TV for the Mets on the network that is called SNY. And he's brilliant. He does national TV as well sometimes. So good. His calls, they had a video recorded in their box in the TV booth. And so he had a couple of former Mets with him. And he's all animated and he's moving around in his seat. And the guys next to him, it's kind of, you would have thought they were mannequins at some point, but he's all over the place. And I loved not only hearing him, but watching him react. And it was kind of fun too, because the fact that you've got all of these different TV announcers who are now on video to compare some of their final calls and what you don't see. And now that's the unveiling, the pulling back of the curtain. So often our broadcasters are kept behind a microphone, not in front of a camera. And so you don't get to see their reaction, but neat for broadcasters who are long time invested in these Mets. And that's the case in a lot of places around the country. We had talked about Bob Uecker with the Brewers going back when they clinched the NL Central title and how he was honored and he was in the clubhouse. Yeah, they're invested because they've spent so much of their lives calling these games. And so for the Mets, it was kind of neat to see the celebration. It was a relatively tame celebration on the field, though they were pretty excited. And then as game two was coming to an end, which the Braves were able to return the favor and finally hang on to the shutout in game number two, they end up clinching a playoff berth as well. So I don't know if this has ever happened. Simultaneous champagne celebrations in each of the clubhouses for both the Mets and the Braves. So yeah, for Francisco Lindor, he ends up with that two-run homer in the ninth, and it's this back-and-forth, just roller coaster ride. All of the feels, all of the emotions for both the Mets and the Braves. And he has been mentioned frequently as part of that MVP conversation. He certainly has been extremely valuable to the Mets to get to the playoffs.
It's been an uphill fight. At one moment, I felt like we were putting ourselves in a big hole. I felt like we kept on climbing little by little out of that hole.
That was one of the craziest games I ever been a part of. And then just the meaning of it, you know, coming back in the eighth and then losing the lead and then coming back again in the ninth. It's unbelievable. Like, it's like you could write a book, you know. And here we are, man. We just have to embrace it and just keep going.
Interesting to think about the Edwin Diaz component of this as well. I think his arm may fall off if it hasn't already. He earned the W in that first game through a season-high 40 pitches. And even though he was the one pitching to Albies, who had the go-ahead hit, the bases-clearing double, he had a mistake earlier in that frame, too, because he didn't cover first on a play in which he should have. And so potentially they would have gotten out of the inning had he been covering the bag and never gotten to the point where Albies had the big blow. And apparently he demanded to return to the mound for the ninth inning. And I know there were people that thought that was a really bad idea because of what had happened in the eighth. But he was back out there on the mound for the ninth, and apparently he told manager Carlos Mendoza, who you hear talking about the first game of the doubleheader, "I don't care what you say, I'm going back out." Could you imagine? I wish we had that. "I don't care what you say, I'm going back out there." I wonder if that was on video somewhere in the dugout. Yeah, the Braves did have the potential tying run at second in that ninth inning. So could potentially have extended this into extras, which would have sucked, right? Because of that runner on second base in extra innings, which I can't stand about Major League Baseball in the regular season. But Diaz was able to rally. He got the strikeout for the second out and then a grounder to end that first game and clinch the Mets spot in the playoffs. And Pete tells me he found Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, they asked him if he had a fight, Mendoza, to keep him in.
A little bit, but if I'm honest, I said, trust in me, I got this, that's how I said to him, and I went out and I did my job. When he came to the mound, I was like, stay calm, don't take me out, and we talk about the running, and then he left out and get the other two outs.
He definitely did, but a season-high 40 pitches, and now the Mets have to turn around, both the Mets and the Braves, traveling on Monday night to Milwaukee and to San Diego. Farther trip for the Braves, of course, on the road at the Padres. And we still don't know who we'll see for that opener. A lot of people asking about Chris Sale, but we heard from Brian Snitker that it was not going to be Chris Sale. And so the Braves make the playoffs as well, not to be left in the dust. The Mets' entry was maybe a little more dramatic than was the Braves, and the Braves were delayed, but they got their celebration too, and they are in as a wild card, which is really impressive considering all the injuries they've weathered.
We've just been grinding all throughout the year. Obviously, we know about the injuries and haven't played our best baseball by any means. And, we came here today. Obviously, we had a chance to do it yesterday. Had a chance to do it the first game. Didn't get it done either way. We could have shut down, but came out and found a way to push through. And, it's all zeros starting tomorrow. So we're excited.
I'm really happy for the guys. They put so much into this on a daily basis and, their families and everything. So it's a special time when you get to go because you never know. You know what? We're in. Anything can happen now.
Anything can happen now, and it probably will. So, yes, congratulations to all these teams who've made it into the postseason, into the tournament, if you will. That's half the battle. And I do hope that we see some game threes in these wild card rounds on Thursday. So it would be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all right in a row, which means the bullpens are paramount. If you can get some depth from your starting pitchers, that's huge. But that's not always the case. And the moves are so criticized, right? They're so magnified in the postseason, especially in a shorter series, that a lot of times you've got managers who are, I don't want to say overmanaging, that's maybe not the case all the time, but relying a little bit too much on the analytics and the formulas and what the numbers might say as opposed to the gut instinct and listening to their players. So we'll see. We'll see which managers end up making the moves that are hailed as exceptional as the reasons why they deserve raises versus those moves that are scrutinized. It happens every October. You've got a couple of moves that are made by managers that turn out to be, well, turning points, maybe turn out to be the wrong move in hindsight, and they get blown up and those managers get criticized up one side and down another. But that's really what October baseball is all about, is the games that hang in the balance, and we kind of hang on every move. And by the way, on Thursday, if we do get, let's just say for the sake of argument, all four wild card series go to that ultimate game three, The order actually changes a little bit. Don't have any idea why. Houston and Baltimore still have the early games, but then San Diego would be hosting game three against the Braves before Milwaukee would have New York. But chances that all of them go to a game three are slim. Well, like I said, none of them went to a game three last year, so I wasn't expecting that either. But bring on postseason baseball. Bring on the playoffs. October is coming, baby. At A-Law Radio is where you can find me here on Twix, also on our Facebook page. You can still vote for Monday MVP. We're going to get those candidates out for our TD of the week. And I'd love to hear from you about Pete Rose. How will you remember him? There's a lot of facets to the man's baseball career, to the man's gambling habits that he later admitted to his lifestyle once he was done from baseball, once he'd been banned from baseball. And I would say that there are still a lot of people that would consider him to be a hero, maybe to be someone they idolize or they hold up as a gold standard, believe that he was done wrong, that he was treated poorly, that he never should have been banned for baseball. He passes away at the age of 83. I don't know if Cooperstown changes anything, allowing him to get into the hall. There's all kinds of different ways that it can be done, right? And he's no longer on the ballot that gets voted on by the writers, so that's not even an option. Is this something that changes now after his death? He was a very flawed human. I mean, we're all flawed humans. He was a flawed human in a lot of ways. He served prison time for tax evasion. He was accused of having a relationship with a teenage girl for several years. And in his defense, he said, "I thought she was 16. I mean, he lied for years about his gambling, his betting, until it was time to sell a book. And then he told the truth. And so, yeah, he was running quite a racket. And he made money doing it for years. But was he treated right by the game? That's always been a question. And seemingly, when it comes to Pete Rose, there are a lot of people that are willing to overlook pretty much anything that he did because he was done wrong by baseball banning him from the game. Although I still say that if another player, manager, coach in 2024 was caught red-handed with the gambling history that Pete Rose has and that we now know that he had, that athlete, coach, and manager would also be banned in 2024. So maybe it was decades ahead of its time because gambling was not as prolific or as legal as it is now. But that would probably still be the punishment for someone who gambled as much as Pete Rose did. Yeah, it's complicated, that's for sure. At A-Law Radio, again, also on our Facebook page, if you want to share your impressions, 855-212-4227. We've got updates on some of the injuries from the NFL. And yeah, looking ahead to an October that will be no doubt one to remember. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Smith out of the gun, man to each side. Two receivers, right, one left. Smith takes the snap, back and looking, throws middle, it is up and intercepted by the Lions. Intercepted, hey, Kirby Joseph, you just ended this ball.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
He went up in the air and skied to snatch that thing down.
Every game's going to be different, and this is one where really the offense ended up having the big hand. But ultimately, defense started us out. It was a big stop to start the game, got it back in the offense's hands, and then situational football before halftime. I thought our defense did a great job, and then the end of the game, man, two huge stops.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Dan Campbell, who has changed the culture with the Lions and has turned them into a winning team. NFC Championship a year ago, a lot of buzz going back to the draft in the spring and 750,000 people that showed up over 3 days. And I know it's always a bumpy ride. Even for teams that are still 4-0, it can be a bumpy ride in the first month, and you wonder, what am I watching with my team? And that's the case even with the two that are still undefeated. The Minnesota Vikings and the Kansas City Chiefs are the last two teams standing. Since the Seahawks were handed their first loss on Monday night, they still lead the NFC West. The Niners are right behind them, so it's 3-1 and 2-2 atop that division. And the Lions are just within a game of the Vikings, so you've got some real competitive races even early on. But the Chiefs, the Vikings, they would tell you they're nowhere near perfect. They've got different aspects of the team. And in the case of both the Vikings and the Chiefs, the defense that has played terrific in this first month that has helped them to stay undefeated. But undefeated and perfect are two completely different things. But I like what we saw from Detroit on both sides of the ball on Monday. And to get that win as a gauge against a Seahawks team that recorded 500 plus yards of offense, to be able to win in a shootout is just as important and critical at times as being able to win in much more of a grinded out game. And we can see the different facets of the Lions offense as well. Yeah, they can chuck and duck, and they've got different ways that they can game plan if it's going to be a shootout, but they can also run the ball. And this wasn't a power run game. I mean, they got three rushing touchdowns in the first half from Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, but this was more about finding the seams and working the angles and Jared Goff. Yeah, all of that going 18 for 18. Said he didn't even realize it, but throws a perfect game to set the NFL record in a Lions win. And the record is completing all 18 of his passes, right? So that's never been done before. And actually, it was too late to give the game ball to Jared Goff once Dan Campbell, realized it. So apparently he'd already given the game balls in the locker room to both J-Mo and then Kirby Joseph, who's a safety with Detroit. By the time he realized that Goff had made history, whoopsie, he gave the game ball to somebody else. And he actually was talking about that after the game, which is kind of funny. He said, "I feel awful. I knew he played a heck of a game. I didn't realize he was perfect." Kurt Warner, who was calling the game on Westwood One, along with Kevin Harlan, he held the previous NFL record for passes without a miss, going 10 for 10. That's it. 10 for 10. Against Houston. So he was playing for the Cardinals against Houston in 2005. So brand new record, a new mark set for Jared Goff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, as well as on Twix at Amy After Hours. And I am interested in your perceptions of Pete Rose and what you'll think of him or what you do think of him even now. It's too bad to hear about his passing. And I know we don't have a lot of details, only that a family member found him. But someone said to on our Facebook page, and granted, this is social media, so we always take it with a grain of salt. But one listener wrote that he was sure the writers were happy now because they wouldn't have to put him into the hall because he was gone. And I think that's tone deaf at the very least. No one's happy when a person dies. Pete Rose was complicated and he was in no way a perfect person. He was a flawed human, as we all are. A lot of warts for Pete Rose. But in terms of baseball, he was one of the best that we've ever seen and still has more hits in his baseball career and a resume that spans more than two decades as a player that is replete with honors and victories and triumphs and awards and trophies and all those types of things, moments that are unforgettable. It's the same with anyone. And I'm not going to start naming names because we could play this game all show long to talk about even other Hall of Famers and to talk about their flaws away from the field or their character and values that we didn't think held up under a microscope. That's pretty much the case for most human beings, right? Most people, if they're not skeletons in their closet, if they're out there in the open, have parts of their life, choices that they've made that they probably would do over. Now, they're not all criminal, sometimes just stupidity. And in the case of Pete Rose, he walked a very fine line. He has a personal story that's just as convoluted as his baseball career. But it is possible to separate the two, to celebrate his baseball career and what he meant to the game, and to talk about the gambling and to know that there's a place in baseball history that is singularly Pete Rose. There was no one like him. I don't know that there will ever be anyone like him. And so I actually told my husband this. I dislike the debate, the argument, the conversation. I don't do it willingly. It's come up multiple times on my show over the course of my network career, but I never bring up Pete Rose to the Hall of Fame. It feels like a dog chasing his tail. He was still banned from baseball. He's not banned from the Hall of Fame, by the way, but the Baseball Hall of Fame, the leaders, the I guess you could say the officials that govern the Hall of Fame, they were not likely to go against Major League Baseball in this regard. And so they weren't probably ever going to make a provision for him to get in unless he had had the ban lifted by the sport itself. And it was a lifetime ban, so I don't know what that means posthumously. I don't know whether or not baseball will honor him in a significant way, but it's not the writers that are keeping him out now. He's not eligible for induction into the Hall of Fame through the same process that recently retired players go through. And to suggest that writers hated him or are glad that he's gone is, I think, ridiculous. And missing the forest for the trees. You can say that baseball writers, and the process has changed so much now. They really did clean up the process and weed out a bunch of the guys who were no longer involved in baseball, no longer actively covering the sport a few years ago when it really became controversial about guys that were getting into the hall or not getting into the hall. So the process is very different now than it was. This is no longer an old boys network when it comes to Cooperstown and the Hall of Fame. It's a really extensive process, but that's not how Pete Rose would get into the hall. And you could certainly look and say, when it comes to steroid users, when it comes to baseball and some of the other guys that maybe didn't play nicely with media, Jim Rice always comes to mind. I know a lot of Red Sox faithful have carried this torch for years. Certainly there were people that held grudges against baseball players or didn't like them or didn't want to see their kind in the hall, again, like steroid users. But the process is supposed to be one that it's not one person or two people that can stop a player from getting into the hall if there's overwhelming support from the rest of the writers. So again, the process has changed. It's morphed. They say they've cleaned it up, but that's not how Pete Rose would be honored if in fact baseball ends up doing it or the Hall of Fame ends up inducting him posthumously. It's a completely different process now. The writers are no longer involved in it. And I do think it's important whether or not he's ever inducted and gets a bust in Cooperstown. I do think it's important to note that a lot of his memorabilia is there in the hall. His story is told through some of the pieces of memorabilia or, you know, playing equipment that he used when he was setting records and when he was winning World Series and MVP awards. So it's not as though there's nothing that represents Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, similar to guys like Barry Bonds or Mark McGwire and some of these others. There are stories that are told. I am one who believes the steroid users should be in the Hall of Fame, even if it's in their separate wing, because the hall is supposed to be about telling the story of the game, preserving the history of the game. And you cannot do that without steroid users, and you cannot do it without Pete Rose. Again, whether or not it's him it's inducted or whether or not there's an exhibit about Pete Rose, I mean, they have to acknowledge him, obviously, because the story of baseball cannot be told without its hit king, without Charlie Hustle. At A-Law Radio, also on Facebook, you can always find us and connect with us there. 855-212-4227. Our candidates for TD of the Week, they are on the way. And then Jessica Kleinschmidt, who is an Oakland A's multimedia reporter, or she was, with the Oakland A's for a long time. Now they're just the A's. I invited her on the show so she could talk about her emotions and the stories of those final few days at the Coliseum and what this move means for the fan base. And so that's top of the hour. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, the Lions were looking like the NFC runner-up they were a year ago. Detroit moving the ball at will on the ground and through the air, even having quarterback Jared Goff haul in a touchdown pass. A 42-29 win over the previously undefeated Seahawks, head coach Dan Campbell.
Proud of the guys. That was a heck of a win. I thought what we did really well was we played complimentary football, and that's what good teams do. And
Goff was 18 of 18 passing for 292 yards and two scores. He's the first quarterback in league history to complete 100% of his passes on more than 10 attempts. In the other Monday night game, kicker Nick Folk was the star, connecting on 5 field goals, 4 of them from 47 yards and beyond. 31-12 Titans win despite losing quarterback Will Levis to a shoulder injury. Mason Rudolph played in his place. Tyler Huntley struggled at QB for Miami, passing for under 100 yards. Pete Rose, baseball's career hits leader, has died at 83 years old. Rose accepted a lifetime ban and was deemed ineligible for the Hall of Fame after gambling on baseball as both a manager and player. Basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo has died of brain cancer at 58 years old. The finger-wagging shot blocker was described as simply larger than life by NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. After his playing career, Mutombo served as the NBA's first global ambassador. Baseball. The Mets and Braves ultimately split their doubleheader in Atlanta after a wild Game 1 win for the Mets, and both the Mets and Braves make the playoffs. The Diamondbacks are eliminated. Quick turnaround now. The Mets are in Milwaukee on Tuesday to start that wild card series. The Braves are in San Diego. Chris Sale is unlikely to pitch in that series. Sale was scratched on Monday due to back spasms. And former Red Sox and Rays executive Heim Bloom will take over as the president of baseball operations with the Cardinals after the 2025 season. Bloom will work closely with John Mozeliak this upcoming year. I'm Pete McCarthy.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
To the waiting Jim Hickman, and right into the stretch, looking back, and throws up the middle. Rose is on his way around, picked up by Otis. Rose is coming to the plate, throws a throw. He's in. It's all over. The National League wins. Pete Rose barreled into Ray Fosse, who is slow in getting up, trying to block the plate. The ball wasn't there yet, and Rose just rolled her shoulder into him, and Fosse is being led away, but the National League has now won its 8th in a row.
Did you bet on baseball?
Yes, I did, and that was my mistake, not coming clean a lot earlier.
You're now saying, for the first time, publicly, yes, I bet on baseball.
I bet on baseball in 1987 and 1988.
Did you bet on your own team?
Yes.
From an interview with ABC in 2004, Pete Rose finally admitting that he bet on Major League Baseball and did bet on his own team. And I do remember, even though it was a long time ago, he lied for years about it and insisted that he did not bet on the sport of baseball and that he would never have bet on his own team until it was time for him to sell a book. And then when he wanted to sell a book, he told the truth. And he also admitted at some point that he was betting on his team up to 5 times per week, but he only bet on them to win. He never bet on them to lose. And if that's true, if what he said is true, then somehow in his mind, that made it okay because he was believing in his team and he was betting on the Reds to win. But it was posted in every clubhouse in Major League Baseball. It was essentially the cardinal sin, the cardinal rule when it came to baseball is do not bet on the game. Now, I think obviously the fact that Pete Rose was alive for the changing climate in sports and the number of now sports books and gambling outfits and gambling TV and radio shows and even advertisers that we see routinely during games, the fact that you can now bet legally in more states in the United States than not, and the fact that you can bet on those sports and even know that some of the money is going to end up in the pockets of the leagues and the owners. It's crazy, right? How quickly that has changed. And he did get to see that. I still believe that because Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA, NHL, whatever the league, because they are so anxious to preserve the integrity of their games, or at least the appearance of the integrity of the games, that they are likely at some point to have to deliver a lifetime ban to an athlete or a coach or a manager who doesn't abide by the rules. We had people calling for a lifetime ban for Shohei Ohtani after Ipe Mitsuhara was fingered for the gambling and after he admitted his gambling addiction, and people want to believe, won't accept that it wasn't Shohei. I mean, baseball has dropped it, and people accuse baseball of wanting to protect its golden goose and not really investigating. At some point, I am confident there will be an athlete who has a gambling problem, a manager or a coach who has an addiction to the gambling on his own sport or her own sport, who will then end up getting found out because the technology leaves quite a trail, and will suffer a lifetime ban. And I think it's somewhat ironic that here we are talking about Pete Rose, his life, his legacy, which is tarnished in many ways, and whether or not he'll ever get into the Hall of Fame. No way to know that at this point. And yet the climate has changed so drastically where now gambling is encouraged, just not for players, not for coaches, not for managers, not for those who work in the sport. And it's a hard line. It's black and white, like it was then. And the punishment could end up being the same. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Pete, what about you? Your impressions of Charlie Hustle?
Well, I think like many should be in the Hall of Fame. His character aside, a lot of people, like you have mentioned, the character is not exactly the best of their not like look at Cy Young, look at Ty Cobb. Look at some of these other people that are in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, character should not be part of whether or not you're in the Hall of Fame. But his character, I don't think is the issue. It was about the gambling.
Yeah, if you're gonna have betting all over sports, I think it's pretty hypocritical to not have him in the Hall of Fame. That's my stance on it, and I think he should have been there regardless. He came out, begrudgingly, but he came right to the history of the game without Pete Rose. It's simple.
All right. So Pete Rose, whether or not he ends up getting that honor, he won't know. And it is sad to hear that he passed away suddenly at the age of 83. Still a lot of life to live after that. And we don't know the reason why. We don't know what happened, only that a family member found him and that the Clark County, Nevada coroner's office intends to investigate and figure out what happened, but that there are no signs of foul play. I don't know how long it will take us to find out, but at this point, what matters is this conversation that I think has never ended, if that makes sense. From the time that Pete Rose was banned in 1989, he's been synonymous with kind of the darker side, the underbelly of pro sports, and maybe always knowing that we would get to this point when it came to that relationship between sports and gambling. But he was decades out in front. I will never forget the shock of Bart Giamatti banning him from baseball in the summer of 1989 and then passing away months later. That was something too early in my career. I wasn't working then. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.